What's happening, my fellow nerds? And welcome back to another amazing episode of the Ultra Nerd Podcast. Now, I do want to apologize a couple things. I did say I would try to get an episode out, but school had a different tune to it. Then I was going to promise myself that I would try to put a next episode out last week, but also school said differently, and so on from that, right? Because, well, to be frank, school honestly does come first before the podcast. And not only that, for next week, I just wanted to make a few next announcements really quick. For next week, I am planning on doing an episode about Age of Sigmar, seeing how a lot of people enjoyed the Warhammer 40K. I would try to do one episode for the Age of Sigmar next, so stay tuned for that if you're interested. And not only that, you could follow me on Twitter or on Instagram to look to see some of the recent miniatures I painted a while ago from War Machines and Hordes and Warhammer 40K. And stay tuned because I'm gonna try to do a live Instagram post for a miniature painting of mine. All right, so there's that. But not only that, today's episode is going to be special because today's episode I am going to be talking about a monster, not just any kind of monster, the king of monsters, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Godzilla. Godzilla has honestly been around for quite a while now, and it's crazy how much he has impacted a lot of people and how far he's gotten in popularity too. And not only that, the guy is, well, the monster itself is a legend. Not only that, but I remember I loved giant monsters back in my day as a kid. And if anything came from Japan, I would talk about it and I loved it. And not only that, let's talk about certain things I'm going to bring up on this episode of the podcast. I am going to bring up some old giant monster shows and movies that I used to watch when I was a kid. I'm going to talk about Godzilla. I'm going to be talking about another giant man named Ultraman. And I'm going to be talking about the Power Rangers because, well, folks, let's be frank. The Power Rangers do fight giant monsters in their giant robots, so there's that, right? So, let's talk about Godzilla first. Now, I honestly do love Godzilla as a kid, and I still like him, but I do lose that type of idea and je ne sais quoi with him anymore, because this is pretty much like a big salute to him and other giant monster movies, and in response to the King Kong versus Godzilla movie as well coming up soon. But Godzilla is honestly a history icon anymore. Where he was produced by a company named Toho in Japan, and I really hope I haven't butchered that name to make it sound something completely different where my mind went south. Ugh, sorry, forgot that I said that. But anyway, what I was trying to say is that Godzilla is almost everywhere. He's probably in cartoons, he's probably in anime, he's in manga, he's definitely on his own card game, that's for sure. Hell, even other shows or movies would reference Godzillas in certain ways. I mean, I definitely remember Godzilla being in a episode of Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy, and not only that, he's now a reference card for Magic the Gathering. How about that? You're playing with merfolks and you decide to throw Godzilla out there on the field and you're like, oh, didn't expect that, right? It's crazy anymore and it's awesome. But everything starts somewhere. So Godzilla started in 1945 in his first film, Godzilla. Or before it got translated, it was originally known as Gojira. And Godzilla actually stood for something else besides fighting a monkey with a... No, yes. Fighting a 12-foot or skyscraper-tall monkey with a battle axe in the middle of a fight. He instead stood for something way more, because this was in 1945. No, wait, other way around, 1954, so that was 9 years after World War II, right? And Godzilla stood for what happened scenario in if you would decide to drop a nuclear warhead on another given town or place. And as sad as that is, it kind of does make sense, because Godzilla is a giant, walking, breathing, fire-spitting warhead. And it's perfectly seen in a lot of his films, and a lot of older films as well, before he's known as, like, the savior of the universe, or, like, the master of the planet Earth, king of the monsters, right? Now, ironically, I actually own a collection of a lot of Godzilla's old movies, from the original Gojira/Godzilla films to Godzilla, The Revenge of Mechagodzilla. And I haven't seen the first one, but I've seen the sequel on that one where they introduce Anguirus, right? Don't ask me how I've seen literally every other Godzilla film, but not the original. I don't know why either. But yeah, if you want to try to get a point across, a giant monster always works. And not only that, before everything was like CGI, in my books, it's not technically a giant monster film unless if you have two men prancing around in rubber suits, right? That's the fun part about it. Like, you see the detail, you see the hard work that they do in the costumes as well. But originally speaking, the idea of having a giant monster represent something is totally reasonable, and it personifies what it was. Like I just said, Godzilla originally was about the nuclear bombs. And the idea of having that monster able to, like, blast radiation, cause radiation, and not only that, but also have this idea that it could be able to, like, flatten a city in just a matter of minutes, or even seconds, that is, absolutely works. And same goes for, like, another movie known as Pacific Rim, where, for some reason, when I was 14, I said specific. Don't ask me how. But I'm getting on off topic. But originally, that movie was, ironically, didn't know in the first place, was about global warming because of what the monsters were able to do to the atmosphere and what they were able to do around the world. And in the beginning of the intro of the movie, how it was able to, like, show this weird blue oil that the monsters excrete? From their bodies in a given period of time. So that kind of lost me a bit. But Godzilla is definitely one of my favorite monsters of all time. And not only that, some of my favorite movies I would argue would be The Revenge of Mechagodzilla, Godzilla vs. The Thing, probably the sequel to the first one, and to definitely Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla. Now, everything is awesome with Godzilla. Everything, I could argue. Like some of the costumes does deteriorate over time, not gonna lie. But it's still a good movie. There's still good movies in my book. Not only that, but like, I could argue that the music from Godzilla could definitely rival a lot of other big name musics from other big name movies like Lord of the Rings or Star Wars. You just hear that, it's like the heavy drums and the heavy brass instruments going is awesome. And I love it. And not only that, Godzilla did have his own types of video games as well back in the day. And I remember I played two of them and I enjoyed the living hell out of them. The first one was Godzilla Saves the Earth. Now, this game had Godzilla 90s, so like every Godzilla film up to the 90s, right? And it had Godzilla 2000, so as every Godzilla 2000 films before Toho decided to make a Godzilla 2018 or 2017 film known as Shin Godzilla. Then there's like Baragon, there's like Rodan, King Ghidorah, Mecha King Ghidorah, Kiryu, Mecha Godzilla 2, Orga, Space Godzilla, Mothra, Jet Jaguar, Mogira, and Mothra. all those awesome monsters and all, right? And the best part about it is, like, you could just go to town on a city while fighting the monster, right? You could pick up objects, throw them at them. You could breathe fire on them. You could basically pick them up and throw them into objects. It's awesome. And not only that, the game also has, like, multiplayer. So you could basically beat your friends up as a giant monster. Because who doesn't want to do that, right? And not only that, I specifically remember the game having, like, these types of mini-game aspects to it, too. So it kind of changes up their tones very much in different ways. Like, I remember one of them being, like, this Jet Jaguar one, where you have to defeat a big Jet Jaguar, and you have to fight a tiny Jet Jaguar. It's fun, it's frustrating, it's fun, it's frustrating, and it's a hell of a lot different, right? And not only that, I remember there was also being, like, a level specifically for Godzilla and Mogira, and you basically have, like, a shoot 'em up style game where you're shooting at submarines, you're shooting at asteroids, and you eventually, depending on who you play as, you're either fighting Space Godzilla as Mogira, or you're fighting a giant lobster as Godzilla. Hell of a fun, hell of a good time. And I remember the next one was Godzilla Unleashed. This was for the Nintendo Wii. And looking back at it, I honestly didn't know what my child brain was looking at and why he liked it. Because, to be frank, I felt as if, like, looking back at it now, that there was, like, so many different things that it was, like, a step down from, like, the original game, right? Whereas, like, the attacks felt really weak for some reason, furthermore, whereas compared to, like, the other game, like, you have, like, the monsters, like, having this type of motion to them that shows that they're doing this type of attack. Like, they're doing a wind-up of their attack and just, like, smacking their opponents to next week. This one, I mean, it does have it, but it's, like, it's almost like Godzilla is trying to do a patty cake compared to it. But, hey, things were different, right? I mean, it was 2006 or 2008, and Nintendo was still trying to test out the systems and the capabilities of the Nintendo Wii Switch, of the Nintendo Wii Remote. And they kind of did arguably poorly-ish with it. I mean, it could have been a little bit better. I mean, it, like, don't get me wrong. It probably had, like, one of the most biggest monster rosters for any Godzilla game. Like, you have some of the Godzilla monsters that I just previously mentioned. Oh, I forgot Destroya, too. So you had, like, those monsters. You have Destroya. You have Godzilla, Mechagodzilla, other versions of Mechagodzilla. So, like, there's the original. There's Mechagodzilla 2. There's Kiryu. There's Mothra. There's Orga, there's Godzilla 80s, believe it or not, so that's fun. There's also other monsters called Chrysalis and, crap, I can't remember what the other names are, but I do remember another one named Titanosaurus. And arguably, I actually liked Titanosaurus, and he was just like a big giant T-Rex with a fish aspect to him, and honestly, that's still cool, right? But either way, the game didn't do so well, and you basically could either be a good guy by beating the monsters or a bad guy by destroying the crystals, depending on what you choose. And I don't know, like, there haven't really been any other good Godzilla game out there so far. But as of recording, I did honestly discover something really interesting. So, a while ago, back in, like, either the 2012 or potentially even farther than that, there was a type of thing known as a creepypasta. Because remember that? Because I mentioned it on my episode for this Halloween special a while ago, right? And there was something known as the Godzilla NES. And it was basically like this storytelling of how this guy got a cursed Godzilla game where it was, like, possessed, and it had creepy visuals, And it was a really good story, too. And it was basically, like, a spin-off, you could say, of a Godzilla game known as Godzilla Monsters of Monsters, which, blatantly, that's what the game was based off of, and it was originally for the NES, right? And the people who were... And honestly, the Godzilla Creepypasta story had a really large following, and it's crazy. It's absolutely amazing, too, because recently I discovered that a group actually took the liberty of themselves, or like an indie developer team, took their liberty to fully develop a, like, let's call it a prototype for now, or like a small beta of the NES game. And it's absolutely crazy, too. It's absolutely fun. It's absolutely cool. Like, there's a ton of different animations. Like, the sprites are so lively. They're so awesome. Not only that, like, and there's, like, this, the main villain that you mainly run from, Red is his name, and he's just, like, always, you could honestly just, like, see him in, like, the most smallest of corners. Like, it is absolutely fun. It's cool. And I could argue that hopefully this would get backed up more just so people could try out the game themselves. So there can be, like, more monsters you can play as. You could do more monsters to fight and hopefully more levels later on in the future. It just looks so awesome, too. And not only that, believe it or not, but this story about a video game that was haunted was significantly better than a lot of other ones. Because it has build-up, it has story, it has an interesting concept. And it was fun, too. Like, if you're trying to tell, just as quick, because I just want to get off topic really quick. Now, if you're going to make a story that's about a haunted video game, you don't want to say, oh, it's haunted, right away. And instead, you try to do some build-up. You try to tell the story first. Like, how is this game haunted in some way? Like, say, oh, it has some glitches, and work from there on out, right? Right. Okay, now, back to the original discussion, which is giant monsters and, like, Godzilla. So, another thing I want to point out that I remembered a while ago was, let's go back in time, shall we? Like, back. Far back. To 2004 back. Now, wee little Zane had the time of his life, because, to be honest, growing up in the 2000s, you had a lot going for you. As in, it was pretty much like a gold mine from what you were able to do and from what able... No, wait. That's not the right wording. From what you were able to play as a kid, from what you were able to see as a kid, and from what you were able to watch as a kid growing up in the 2000s. And what I mean by this is it was basically like a freaking gold mine from movies, video games, toys, movies, cartoons, you name it. But I remember when I was a kid, there was a show that caught my eye that was called Superhuman Samurai, right? I don't remember. Oh my god, why did I do that? But cringes aside, I remember it was about like this, these four high school friends able to find out that there was like a virtual world, and one of them was able to turn into a hero known as the Superhuman Samurai, right? And it was fun, it was flashy, it had giant monsters, and it had a giant man and a computer fighting those said giant monsters. It was absolute fun, right? And not only that, there was like a guy who was counterintuitive. No, there was like another student, I mean, who was pretty much like the antagonist. And he was able, like, oh, I'm working with this one villain to defeat the superhuman mega samurai, etc. force, right? And not only that, I remember specifically that this guy had the ability to, like, not morph himself. He was able to, like, shoot lasers. He had a sword. He had an axe. And not only that, but his friends were also able to, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. He was able to, like, have robots on his side, right? So he had like a dragon robot he used as like a rocket launcher. He had like a drill robot. He also had like other different types of robots as well, or like vehicles, I think, in the show. But not only that, he was also able to morph them and combine them into the Superhuman Samurai Force. And he was bigger, he was bulkier, he was slightly stronger, and he was able to shoot bigger lasers. He was able to shoot his opponents with lasers. Laser beams, folks! And I honestly think that's what got my idea of me loving giant monsters in the first place. And that in Power Rangers. Definitely Power Rangers, without a doubt. But I think let's take a break from here for now, and I'll talk about other things in the next episode, part of the podcast, okay? See y'all later. And like that, we are back, fam. Alright, so a couple of things I do want to mention about the Superhuman Samurai show was that it was originally based off of another show where like its original counterpart known as Gridman, right? So it's the same idea, like giant man goes into the computer, into the virtual world to fight giant monsters, right? A protagonist or antagonist fights Gridman with the main villain of also Gridman. And not only that, but there was also an anime based off it too called SSS.Gridman. And I believe it was by the same people who originally created anime like Kill la Kill and others like that. And furthermore, the idea of the original superhuman samurai force squad thing, right, was that it was pretty much like the same idea with like, from what I heard from the documentary series Toys That Made Us, where they did with Power Rangers, they basically added the same episode, or like mirrored the same episode from what they did from the original series into the American version. So that kind of makes sense. However, it kind of didn't last that long, honestly, and it was kind of sad, but still fun too. But anyway, let's get into Power Rangers. Bow, 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 bow. Oh my god, Power Rangers. I loved Power Rangers when I was a kid, but I like the older ones than the newer ones, honestly. And from a YouTuber by the name of OniPlace, when I was listening to their video on Pigmans, like their video compilation, I was laughing my ass off because they were doing like the best Rita Repulsa impression ever. Like, ah, 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 Power Rangers, it's been 300 years! And they were doing other voices with her, like saying shit like, it's been 1 week! It's time to take over Earth! I was laughing my butt off. But originally, their friend, Ding Dong, he actually brought up an idea, or like a thing where his friend told him, I remember hearing from the video, that they did a reversion, or like an updated version of the original, but try to make it like, you gotta be like with the cool kids, right? You gotta have those LOLs, you gotta have those dance battles, right? So they put up big fonts like that, like, and I'm thinking to myself, I can't find that. And I kind of know how bad it was. Like, to be fair, Power Rangers is like, it sometimes is goofy, but it sometimes does get serious on its own merits. And it does have its own type of idea of what it wants to be. Like, it wants to be funny, it wants to be serious, and it wants to be like an action-packed adventure, right? Like, I remember one thing from the original, from like the Power Rangers Samurai Saga series one from back in, oh god, I think it was like either 2013 or potentially 2012, maybe? I can't remember, but I do know what I'm talking about. And this idea was, like, one of the most serious moments I remember from seeing from that series was like a lone samurai was like cursed to being lived forever and to turn into a monster and to only quench his thirst was fighting an honorable opponent, and that was originally the Red Ranger. I remember that, and I remember him and his whole tribe in that episode getting, like, brutally slaughtered by the monsters. And that's dark. That's, like, one of those moments I was telling you guys about. Like, Power Rangers, in its own rights, it doesn't need to be scared to go into those types of dark moments sometimes. Especially when your themes come to samurai. Because, folklore about, like, yokai in Japan can sometimes be really dark. But besides just that, I remember, like, Power Rangers is honestly something you can't always go by. Like, I always loved the old Power Rangers, like, Power Rangers SPD, where they fight monsters from criminals from outer space, right? And, like, you always, and they're, my favorite moments are always the giant monsters, right? Because when they get into their Mighty Morphing Megazord. And it just like to see their Megazord fight to have, like, see, and to see, like, their Megazord have these different types of other combinations is always great to see, too. And I remember seeing the newest version of the Power Rangers series, and I'm, like, thinking to myself, this isn't Power Rangers, because it's too serious, I would feel. Like, and not only that, I honestly really don't like how it worked, because, and it's sometimes, I'm wondering to myself, like, is anyone in this show or in this movie have a brain too? Like, one of the Power Ranger characters, or like the main characters, fell into the ocean, they fished him out, none of them somehow knew how to do CPR, I'm like thinking to myself, what the heck? That, he's not dead, just literally do CPR. Are you telling me no one in this group knows how to do CPR? That doesn't make any sense. Like, realistically, that wouldn't make any sense. And how at the end of the movie, they just knew how to Mighty Morph. And, like, Goldar, they butchered him. Like, that's not Goldar. Goldar is a monster with golden armor, golden wings, but a wolf face. And he's like, or bear, lion, wolf face thing. But anyway, I remember him specifically being like, I'll get you next time, Power Rangers. Oh my god, I don't even kill my voice. And that's Goldar, right? And honestly, I remember a lot of the best fights being from, I could argue, Dino Thunder and what's it called? Ninja Storm. Hands down. I feel like it, as if it's true. Because, like, I honestly like those ones more than some of the older ones and the newer ones today. Because, like, you have other great characters. Oh, and SPD. SPD is also really good, too. Because, like, you just have other villains that are really great in the Power Rangers franchise. Like, I remember there's, like, the dinosaur guy. There's also, like, that one skeleton guy from SPD. And you have, like, I can't remember the other guy's name. He was, like, part of Ninja Storm or Ninja Force, I remember. He had, like, two daughters that were also bad guys as well. Or not, I can't remember specifically. But what I do remember was that, like, the skeleton guy, he had just a menace that would reek off of him that you were like, oh my god, I don't want to be near this guy. Like, he just has that type of intimidation by just hearing him talk, by just, like, seeing him there in general. And I remember he had, like, this big grudge towards the main honcho who runs the SPD emergency thing too. And you could tell it by the way how I remember in one episode where he was like fighting the Shadow Ranger and he got one of his horns cut off by the Shadow Ranger, and the way how I remember in that episode how he gripped it, and to still remembering it, that one battle shows how much he wants to fight him and to defeat his one rival, right? And if you go Time Force or Time Patrol, like, there was another one where mutants were involved with, like, hate. And I know who I'm talking about. I can't remember what the guy's name was. Like, but all I do remember was, like, this guy, he was, like, he was a man, he was a mutant human man guy, right? And, but he was someone to also be feared. He was an excellent fighter. He killed the original Red Ranger, right? And that's messed up. But also, arguably, he was also, like, one out of many villains that arguably showed humanity eventually at the end of the series. And that's, like, another thing, too, about, like, the Power Rangers. Because, to be fair, they are, a lot of enemies in the series are villains, yeah. However, they're in the series that is Power Rangers, none of them are that afraid to show humanity towards others. Like, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of other ones besides, like, this one villain I'm talking about that I can't remember his name to. But there are a lot of other villains that potentially were further... No, I'm mixing up my words again. Ugh! That show humanity more than others. Like, I remember one series from, like... Does anyone else remember Power Rangers Mystic Force? Because I remember that, and I thought that was a good one, too. Like, I specifically remember the Pink Ranger's mother being the... being, like, this bat vampire lady, right? And that's, like, a good example, because, like, even though she's a bad person, she's still... there is still some kind of, like, good in her somewhere. And that's another good example. But arguably the Power Rangers monsters where they get into the big fights is honestly where it takes the show. Because you see them fighting. You see like sparks flying. And again, so technically it's not a giant monster movie or a monster show unless if you see two men in rubber suits prancing around and fighting one another. Arguably that's the best part. But let's take a break from Power Rangers for now. And let's talk about Ultraman. Now, Ultraman, much like Godzilla, is probably, I want to argue, second best, at least. Like, Godzilla is obviously first, but Ultraman is arguably second best. But he does have a lot of good things about him. He's a fighter for good and justice. He picked a mortal to become Ultraman. Okay, so here's the story of Ultraman so far, if I can remember correctly. It's been a while. So, this is what happened. A human by the name of Hayata was out on patrol one night, and he was part of, like, this intergalactic defense force where they fly ships and shoot at monsters, right? Gotta drink my water, because that Goldar impression nearly killed my vocal cords. And what I remember specifically was that he crashed into, or vice versa, he crashed, or the meteor hit him while he was in his jet cruiser, right? And what happened was, a vision of Ultraman appeared to him, and he was like, Hayata, I am Ultraman. Take this device, and together we shall become Ultraman. And that was basically, and together, he becomes Ultraman, and is able to fight these giant monsters. Now, Ultraman, much like Godzilla, is sometimes here and there. There's sometimes references to a giant warrior, much like in the Power Rangers series. Like, there's always going to be like that one character that's a part of the Power Rangers team that turns himself into a giant robot or into a giant man by himself. I could argue that's kind of Ultraman-ish. But not only that, there's, like, Ultraman in other card games. There's, like, I forgot to mention, like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Also references Godzilla. And the same goes for, like, Buddy Fight. Hell! I referenced Ultraman in this entire podcast. Ultra Nerd, Ultraman. And honestly, I remember some of the older episodes of Ultraman 2 being sometimes dark, sometimes good, sometimes bad. But there's always a premise. The idea is, like, there's an issue somewhere, and we need to solve it, and Ultraman needs to fight a monster because of it. And I remember a couple of episodes being good, and sometimes, and I remember one episode specifically of Ultraman actually making me cry, believe it or not. I can't remember what the episode was, but it was like this weird meteor-like monster. I can't, okay, so here's the description of what I remember. The guy, its heads are like pretty much like conjoined into its body, so it has no neck and it has no head, and its arms are like very stiff to its body. And presumably, from what I remember from this episode, was that it was a human at first, but he was so enraged and so in pain that he became this monster that it's no one's fault that he became that way, I remember. And I remember when Ultraman like sprayed him with water, he somehow literally crumpled over and died. And I'm like, but like, I remember from that episode that scarred me was like, he's like still like rolling over in pain. I think I remember talking about this in the dark episode part of the podcast, but that's what I remember. And like, he was rolling over, he was crying, and you just like, I remember there was like flags there too. So he was like rolling over in the mud with flags around him, and he just finally went kaput. And that's like one dark thing I remember from Ultraman. And normally now Ultraman is all about like them toy sales, right? Because Ultraman's for the kiddies, not for adults. And a 20-year-old is currently talking about him. Mm-hmm. For adults. I mean, not for adults. And there was like a, but much like Power Rangers, Ultraman, the Ultraman series by far has never strived to take a dark turn, pretty much like the scarring childhood there, or to get serious on its own merits. Like, I remember another episode of the Ultraman series where it introduced us to this weird T-Rex skeleton-like monster, and it wasn't doing anything, it wasn't destroying cities, and all it wanted to do was to go back into outer space, right? But originally from that episode was that one of the team members that Hayata works with was actually discovered that there's like a monster spirit graveyard out there in the cosmos. And to do like a type of prayer, they actually set up a little like a safe passage ritual to make sure that the monsters were able to live a happy life when they pass on. And that's like that type of idea where, oh my god, I'm not going to cry on my first podcast here. But as I was trying to say is, sorry folks, I just felt a little bit touching there from my heart. But what I was trying to say is like, what's like more realistic is like these monsters that in the episode talked about that they had no power controlling over it. And they had something that they had no control over themselves, because as a monster you can't control this type of power that's bestowed upon you. And like, it's seen in Hayata's face where he's like, I'm sorry for destroying these monsters, and it's seen in Ultraman too. Now, a little bit, where the fuck am I going with this podcast anymore? Holy shit, I'm sorry about that folks. But anyway, what I was trying to say, let's go on to other things really quick about still talking about Ultraman. So Ultraman actually does have his own types of unique games as well. One of them was like for the PS2, and he features himself in other versions of Ultraman. Like there was one, I think, named Ultraman Leo, Ultraman 7, Ultraman 80s, not like the type of 80s, just like the number 80s, I believe. And there was also another one named, I believe Ultraman Gaia. There's also one named Ultraman Tigra, Ultraman Toro, so on and so forth, right? So there's Ultraman Ace. Yes, there was another one named Ultraman Ace. I remember Ultraman Ace. And basically, like, there's like this type of planet where Ultraman lives, and basically they're all brothers and sisters, potentially. And they're part of the same species where they're able to, like, do superhuman things, like flying the sky, shoot laser beams from their palms, and shoot, become a giant man as well, too, right? But I remember some of the video games having these different types of Ultramans that you could choose and fight with other monsters or vice versa. And there was, like, And much like the Godzilla series, the Ultraman world and the Gridman world had so many different types of cool and unique monsters, too. And I remember specifically, like, some of them were cool, some of them were not, some of them were also really eerie in some ways. Like, I remember as a kid, there was a monster named Eel King, and to me, he was unsettling, but not anymore. It was just, by just looking at him, he was, like, very tall, he had conjoined fingers, he had his mouth was, like, looking, to me, when it looked like it, his mouth was, like, shield, sewn to shut, and he had, like, these weird spinning antennae on his head, too, and he just, like, made these weird, eerie noises to him, too, and I don't know why. As a kid, I found that unsettling. And not only that, there was a Wii game where you could play as the monsters. Now, I can't remember what this Wii game was called, but all I do remember was that it basically was like super ultra giant monster sumo wrestling ultra human man smash, right? So I remember specifically, like, there was, like, these two different arrows, and basically you had to, like, put the Wii remote in a specific arrow towards the opposite corner so you could be able to hit the monster. However, to be able to do that in the first place, you have to win, like, this type of sumo wrestling match. So you have to shake the Wii remote as best you can when you charge into one another and push one off guard, and then you're able to start giving them the bitch slap, right? And eventually, I remember when you meet up to a certain point, you're able to do, like, these types of special attacks that either shoot lasers from one monster's eyes, either shoot a giant fireball, or literally bring a freaking comet down on a planet. So, yeah, that's Ultraman for you. But not only that, he's actually still going strong with different variations of him still coming out. Because, obviously, kids like giant humans that are able to shoot lasers from their eyes. And not only that, toy sales. Toy sales, toy sales, toy sales, right? Sorry, my voice is getting really dry for some reason. It's nothing bad, it's just been I've been talking for nearly half an hour. For almost half an hour, I think. Or probably more now. I wasn't keeping track of time. But let's talk about one monster, or giant monster specifically, that was pretty much, like, I could argue, unsung, right? So this monster goes by the name of Gamera. Now, Gamera is a giant space... is a giant flying turtle. Okay, let me repeat that statement. He's a giant flying turtle. Who also has a heart for kids. Now, originally, I remember hearing a story about Gamera, and the idea of Gamera was he was supposed to be like this main protector of Earth, right? Because obviously some shit kind of hit the fan with something, and then there's like these giant bloodthirsty bird raven things flying around and making a muck of things, pushing people's carts over to mess with them, spray painting dicks on people's cars, you know, that type of stuff, right? So Gamera is pretty much like, hey, you stop that. And they're like, okay, right? And I remember specifically, like there was something unique about him. Like, you never see a turtle flying in midair or, like, him spinning his shell to a point where he's basically like a UFO. Literally. I'm not joking. And, like, for some reason, Gamera had the ability to put his head, arms, and legs in his shell, produce flames from those sockets, and spin around like crazy. One, how does he fly seeing? And two, how is he not going to be puking? It's questions beyond galore, folks. But I feel like, looking back, there were some things, like the costume was alright, some of the movies were, like some of the newer ones, I mean, were alright. Like, the costumes obviously evolved a lot than from the older ones. And the story behind Gamera really changed, too. Whereas, like, there was, like, this evil version of what he was created from, and he eventually destroyed it too. And the reason why I feel as if he was unsung, because, like, I don't know. I'm guessing it's either with box office sales, or no one talks about him that much, or makes a movie about him that much. There was, from what I heard, supposed to be a 2016 Gamera film, but that was sadly scrapped. Would have loved to see it. But not only that, Gamera's enemies were weird. Like, I don't know what's the best way to explain it. I only remember seeing one, but I remember seeing a guy's review about one, and okay, so this is gonna sound awkward. This is gonna sound really awkward, but stick with me here. So apparently there's this one monster that Gamera faced that shot a spike in him, and that said spike got him pregnant. I wish I was joking. Besides the spinning tortoise in the sky UFO thing, I wish I was joking about that. That was exactly on the movie, and for some reason they found out that his weakness was with telephones. I don't know how a giant monster able to withstand missile blasts, able to withstand getting shot multiple times by tanks, airships, and probably potentially a freaking meteor, able to withstand those, but somehow is extremely weak to telephones. I don't know how that works, folks. But not only that, Gamera is honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Gamera made a return, because I think he does deserve a return, and not only that, but to be honest, let me just go back for a second, talk about let me just continue with Gamera really quick. I feel as if he does have a little bit more potential today with some of the technology and some of the things that we're able to do with, like, CGI and films, because from what I heard from the Shin Godzilla film, it was like a combination of both costume and CGI. Like, they were able to make the costume out from scratch, like, give it out specific parts. Like, you know, when you draw, you make certain shapes for a certain character to draw them a little bit easier, or like to at least draw their, or what makes them, or what makes them unique in the first place. So like, say a circle for the head, or like a square for the body, and so on and so forth, right? So imagine that, but like for CGI. I can imagine that being one of the things that we could do for the movie, but somehow, even though if we do it right in America, Toho would be like, oh no, we're gonna have to put our serious caps on. And honestly, that's what they did for like a couple of America's Godzilla films. Because who remembers when they turned Godzilla into an actual T-Rex in America's first iteration of the Godzilla film? I cannot speak today. Oh my god. And Japan and Toho thought that was absolute crap, so they made Godzilla 2000s. And when we made Godzilla 2014, they also thought that was absolute crap and made Shin Godzilla. I mean, it makes perfect sense if we make a Gamera movie. But not only that, before I end the podcast, let's talk about one thing that a lot of these films have in common. Well, besides Gridman and Gamera, which is anime. Anime. Ultraman has an anime, haven't seen all of it, only saw the first episode, wasn't that impressed with it, but I heard good things about it. And Godzilla had animated movies. And honestly, I was bored with all of them. Like, the third one, I saw the third one, I don't know why, I just wanted to. And, like, they perfectly described how Godzilla, or not perfectly described, but iterated Godzilla in a different way that's make him bit larger than the new Godzilla from Godzilla vs. King Kong. But I don't know why. This is just how I felt about it. Like, the movies to me seemed so slow. And not only that, but even the monster fight seemed so slow. Like, to be honest, when it comes to a monster fight, you're waiting to see some action. Not just like some whatever the hell I just saw, like a giant Godzilla shooting a atomic breath at a at a King Ghidorah with just the neck and the head out. He's like doing a peekaboo thing there for a moment, but King Ghidorah isn't from this world, so it kind of makes sense. As of for like the new anime that's coming on Netflix, I'm kind of impressed, but yet I'm not. Like, I seen the poster for Godzilla, and my god, I actually prefer Godzilla Planet than this version. Because this version, I don't know why, like, I'm guessing that they were trying to do their, like, a mimic idea from the Shin Godzilla films, or film for now, and it does not look that good, honestly, because his jaw is really off of his face, and there is a spider on my wall there. As I was trying to say, even Jet Jaguar doesn't seem right to me either. Like, he's too slender for some of his robotic, for his arms. Like, his body and head are perfectly proportioned, but not his arms and legs for some reason. And not only that, I do not like the new look for what they did with Rodan. Like, I understand Rodan is supposed to be, like, this giant prehistoric pterodactyl as well, but, like, the round curved beak is honestly not working it for me, too. And so, that ends another episode of today. So, I promise I will try to do a Age of Sigmar next week for the next Ultra Nerd podcast. And not only that, before I end, each time you guys listen to a episode of the Ultra Nerd podcast, we are slowly building revenue here and there. So, in the future, you could actually help me build a Ultra Nerd podcast. To make the Ultra Nerd podcast a little bit better, you could help me pay some bills. You could help me do this and do that. You can help me flush that toilet over there. And not only that, be sure to follow me on Twitter, follow me on Instagram, and to stay fleek, you geeks.